Hello, welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford department here at Car Talk Plaza.
And I'm not going to get into trouble here because this is not mine. I didn't do this. Well, I did a little bit. This is, I guess this was first published in the Washington Post by Gene Weingarten and Gina Barreca. And I have to say that I took some editorial liberties with it.
Yeah, those are what are going to get you in trouble.
But he himself, Gene, wrote this. I'll just tell you what he wrote.
Well, I just want to, before you start.
You want to distance
yourself. Not only do
yourself.
I want to distance myself, but I want to remind you that Gene is not going to be living in your garage. You will be living in your garage.
No, he got himself into this, not me.
Go ahead.
Okay, he says, to get her to go out with me again.
I'm distancing myself.
I agreed to let feminist Gina Barreca select a film more to a woman's taste than my choice of Jackass the movie, which spoiled our first date last month. Gina picked a Truffaut classic, The Story of Adele H. We review it here together. First, Gina. She says, set in the 1860s, this is a tale of unrequited love in which a vulnerable young French woman is driven to the edge of sanity by her romantic obsession for a British soldier who seduced, then abandoned her. She follows him from Europe to Canada to persuade him to do the honorable thing and marry her. Jean says, set in the 1860s, this is a story about a guy chased around the world by a whack job. I mean, when I read that line, I said, this is a man for me. Gina, constrained by the hypocritical standards of a society that punishes women for behavior tolerated in men, Adele finds herself robbed of her only negotiable quality, her virginity. Thus, when confronted by her ex-lover's coldness and cad-like rebuffs, she employs increasingly desperate and self-abasing measures to win him back and restore her honor. Jean. Whack job. Gina, in setting the movie among French expatriates in North America, the filmmaker deftly contrasts sensibilities of disparate cultures. Jean, half the film's in English and half in French, deftly assuring that no matter where it is shown, nobody is going to understand it. And he goes on for several more pages, but that's enough to get the idea. That's why I never go to the movies with my wife. You go to the movies with your wife, though. How come?
I have a secret weapon.
Yes, I know what it
is. I sleep.
I'll tell you a story. One time, my brother goes to the movies with his wife to some chick flick, and they're sitting like right in the middle of the movie theater. And there was a crowd, as I remember. Lucille was there.
Oh, yeah, there was a crowd.
And right toward the end of the movie, I guess he was stalwart for quite a bit of the movie. And toward the end of the movie, he dozes off. And when he dozes off, he snores.
Yeah, I don't just doze off. I don't go quietly.
He snores badly. So the movie is just about
over. I might add that those cinema seats are conducive to snoring.
Oh,
yeah. The first thing that happens is your head flies back, your jaw drops down, your mouth flies open. And the snoring, the uvula starts to vibrate, and the next thing you know, it's...
There he is snoring away. They let him sleep. And the movie ends. They all get up quietly with the other 500 people in the movie theater, and they leave him there, sitting there, snoring. What happened after that?
They sent the usher. The usher. I feel a shaking on my shoulder, and I wake up, and the theater lights are all on. I'm looking at this strange face that I don't recognize, of course, and he says, you'll have to leave, sir. The movie's over, and we're closing the theater now. And I was the only one in the place. It was a little embarrassing.
And your wife was, of course,
standing at the back going, hee, 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 hee. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or movie going, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. Well, she gets everything she wants. She sees her movie, and I get everything I want. I sleep. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gregory, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Greg.
Gregory.
Gregory it is.
Yeah, you wouldn't have said Gregory if you had meant us to call you Greg.
Only my mother.
Only your mother calls you Greg.
Exactly.
See, that's quite the reverse. See, my mother always called me Thomas whenever she wanted to admonish me about something.
Which was most of the time.
And I've noticed that all of my wives do the same thing.
Yeah.
They call me Tom until something happens.
Yeah.
until something bad happens.
And then when they say Thomas, I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's back,
you know,
to go hide to
behind
the garage.
Hide behind the couch, baby.
Sleep in the garage. So, Gregory, what's up?
Well, I have a 91 Chevrolet Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning when I go to start my car, it starts up just fine, runs in park like a dream. And if I'm pointing downhill, it goes into gear, and away I go.
If you're pointing uphill, it stalls.
If I'm uphill, it stalls, and if I'm on a flat surface, it kind of coughs and sputters like it's trying to stall.
Oh, really?
Really. And seeing as how I live in San Francisco, hills are kind of a big part of my life.
Yeah, and you can't always be parked facing downhill.
Unfortunately, no.
Unfortunately, no.
You haven't considered relocating to, like, Mesa, Arizona,
hey? On New Orleans. That would be nice. There in a hill.
Where can I go downhill all the time?
All the time. Mount Everest.
So, oh, there you go.
So as long as you don't go, you can't go back again.
No, but once the thing is warmed up.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, you can then satisfactorily drive it anywhere.
Is that correct?
Not quite all the time. Occasionally.
Really?
Even after sitting there and letting it run for a while to warm up, it still stalls.
But how about this scenario? You've been driving around for half an hour,
mm-hmm.
and you're heading up a hill.
Yes.
And
it's the same grade as the one that you
started.
Live on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you come to a traffic light. You stop. Then what happens?
Well, we don't always stop.
If you stop at the traffic light, will it then take off from a dead stop?
No, it will not. It will stall at a traffic light.
Yeah, okay. Even though you've been driving for half an hour.
Even though I've been driving half an hour.
The problem is just exacerbated by the cold start.
Yeah, it's worse. Okay.
In other words, the problem is always there, but it's worse. Like, every engine runs its worst when it's cold and damp. And we know that where you live is always cold and damp.
Especially
especially in the summertime.
Exactly. See, I was about to say, come on, it's going to be about 62 today.
You lucky guy.
I mean, you could have something as simple as bad spark plug wires, but it's pretty clear you have an engine misfire.
Yes.
And I bet you, when you're even sitting at a traffic light, you may notice that when you're in drive, sitting at a traffic light, that it doesn't run as smoothly as it used to.
That is indeed correct.
It is true. Excellent.
Yes.
You're giving all the right answers here, Gregory.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you probably don't notice anything if you're driving along on a freeway, for example. It probably seems to be okay.
Bit. Every once in a while, there's a sputter, but not terrifically horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to take it in.
Mm-hmm.
And have them do a full workup on it. You know, chest x-ray, the whole
upper
thing.
Upper GI, lower GI.
Tailpipe exam. I mean, the whole bit. And they're going to find out that you probably need a good tune-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that you may have a bad spark plug wire, a cracked spark plug.
When was the last time you changed the spark plugs or the wires? You can't remember, can you?
I actually changed the wires probably 2 years ago. But the spark plugs were not new at the time.
They weren't, and you didn't change them.
No, I did not.
Have you driven since then?
Between 25 and 30,000.
It's time.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it may be time for an engine, too, but I think it's time for spark plugs. Start with them.
Okay.
Good luck, Gregory.
Sounds easy.
It sounds easy. Let's hope it is.
Let's hope it is.
See you later.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cynthia, and I live in McLean, Virginia.
Hi, Cynthia.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and I'm counting on you two guys to settle a $100 bet. I have a $100 bet riding on you.
Yeah.
Please give me the right answer.
Wait a minute, hold on
well,
a second,
you know, that's
Cynthia.
That is the standard bet around here. Whenever someone makes some statement that we...
94. My brother and I made a $100 bet recently, about 6 months ago, and I just gave him a dollar. I'm down to 94 now.
Yeah,
I lost the bet.
As soon as someone makes any statement that is in the least bit questionable, someone else will say, oh, that's bogus. You want to bet $100?
Right.
And $100 is the bet. Well, I won the last bet with my brother, and he's paying me $1 a week. So actually,
so far. after the 30th of the month goes down to change.
That is until I forget. And by the way, just to show you how honest I am, this is not down to 94.
I was testing you. It's 89.
It's 89.
I knew that.
You did.
Oh. I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you gave me you. $10.
Yeah. No. If you had said, "Oh yeah, 94," that was your last dollar. Anyway, Cynthia,
we're down to 89.
Where are you from?
McLean, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia, right.
I live just about 6 blocks from the CIA.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they can't help me settle this bet, and I hope you can.
We'll try. What is it?
Okay, my boss is Mike, and he's a mechanic. You know, he's like a weekend mechanic, and he has about 8 or 10 cars. I don't know. He has a whole bunch of cars, so he knows a lot about cars.
Yeah.
Well, I have one car. I drive a 1989 14-year-old Acura Legend, and she's in perfect shape. Perfect condition, but I noticed that if she needs to have an oil change, she burns the gas really fast.
Burns gas really fast?
Yeah, she burns gas really fast. So usually I buy a tank of gas and it lasts me a week, but if she goes in 4 days, that means that, I need to get my oil changed, and I take it in, and sure enough, the garage guy says, oh yeah, you got to change your oil. So I told Mike about it. Mike, that is totally ridiculous. He said, if somebody twists their ankle, you don't have to go get them glasses. They're not associated with each other at all. And I said, but they are. I can tell in my car. And when I have oil, when I have fresh, clean oil, then I have good gas mileage.
Did you already make the bet?
Yes.
Did I?
All right. Now, wait a minute now. Don't, before you get us into trouble.
We're not in trouble yet, but.
My brother's going to tell you that your boss is absolutely right. And I just want to...
Wait a minute. I'm trying to save you, Cynthia.
I have in my office a little sign. Whenever I come up with these brilliant little insights, I always write them down so to remind me. And the one that comes to mind now is this one. Reality often astonishes theory.
Oh,
isn't that good?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could employ Occam's razor here, too.
I could do
this
that.
This is what the original bet between us was about, the spelling of Occam.
But I can tell in my car, I know for a fact when I'm driving it that...
So let me see. You get a full tank of gas.
Right.
It lasts you 5 days.
A week. Seven days.
Seven days.
But when you need an oil change...
Right.
Goes down to 4.
Right.
Is it... Do you happen to know if the amount of oil drained out is the full amount? In other words, are you low on oil?
No. They do. They change it. They change the filter and everything.
Right.
No, but have you checked the oil with the dipstick?
Well, Mike checks it.
And what does he find?
He says that it's absolutely perfect and that I'm kind of like too fastidious about changing the oil.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Go ahead.
I got it.
I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait.
When you go to a place like Jiffy Lube?
No. I go to my regular gas station, if I can say the name on the air.
Better. What is it?
I go to the Sunoco gas station in McLean, Virginia, and they're perfect. They change my oil for me. Perfect.
And you know what else they do?
What?
They check your tire pressure.
Yeah.
And at the end of a month... or whatever it is, your tire pressure has dropped down enough to be coincident with your need for an oil change, and thus your mileage drops off because you have low tire pressure.
Oh.
How long does it take?
And then they fill up they change the oil, and naturally, as a service, because they like you, Cynthia, you've been a good customer, and you just mentioned their shop to 4 million listeners.
Right.
And they also fill up your tank, and they don't charge you.
Right, they give you a free tank of gas.
And they never mention it to you.
And they're driving you crazy.
Well, you know, that's true. They do check the tires. In fact, they'll balance them. They do that for me. They do all of that for me.
Oh, my brother is genius.
I mean, if you lost 5 PSI from your tires, or even a couple of them, it might be enough to drop your mileage 2 or 3 or 4 miles per gallon.
But I just thought if the oil is dirty.
No, you're crazy.
No, don't.
Cynthia.
I would drop this, what do you call this? This
position.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off from a buck a week because you owe him $100.
But the oil change itself would not be enough to do it. But adding air to your tires might do it, but you would have a hard time winning the bet on those grounds. So I think you're going to have to go for the buck a week. See if you can wear him down. Start with 25 cents first.
Okay.
It wouldn't hurt, just to corroborate my brother's brilliant insight here. By next time you go for the oil change,
yes.
When you pick it up, ask them, by the way, did you put air in my tires?
Well, I have to say one thing. You guys are definitely diplomatic because you've given me an honorable way to lose the bet.
I don't think it's honorable.
No, I don't think Mike's going to be so kind, but good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See you, Cynthia.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No, she's a good sport.
Yes, she is.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
Yeah, and when we come back, we will not have an answer to last week's puzzle. Why? Because there was no puzzle last week.
That's true. And what else will we not have when we come back?
Anything intelligent to say.
All right. You've eliminated 2 out of 6 zillion possibilities. You want to keep going? Or should I skip right to what we will have?
Sure, fine.
We will have more of your calls and a philosophical question put to my brother.
Excellent. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you about my new speed. Built for comfort. Just my speed. Ford Mustang, modified to set the pace. Man, I could hardly wait to get out in the race. It's got a 289 motor with a special Cobra kit. There ain't nothing on the road that can even touch it. It's got 8 carburetors and it uses them all with a 4-speed stick that just won't stall. With that transistor ignition and power pipe exhaust, this is a machine that'll really get lost. Everything built to make it perform. It may not be hot, but it sure is warm. We took delivery at the factory late one night. It was purring like a kitten and moving just right. We pulled up on the freeway like it was going downhill and started passing the sleds like they were standing still. Then all of a sudden, before I could bat an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed me by. Somebody said, like, that's the wheels for me. But by then, the taillights was all I could see.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new gluten-free, soy-based windshield washer fluid.
And even though Renee Montaigne looks at her NPR tattoo and feels a pang of regret every time she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. Sorry. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a philosophical question that only my brother can answer.
Well, apparently. This was sent in by a listener named Tom Modica, and it was directed specifically to me.
I'm sure.
It's a Dear Tom, I recently read a novel named Nightfall by Nelson DeMille. In the book, the author poses a question which he doesn't answer. After thinking about it for several weeks, I realized you must know the answer to this. Huh? Here's what the question is. If you do nothing, how do you know when you're finished?
Gee, well, speaking of conundrum.
If you do nothing, how do you know when you're finished? I love it.
Do you have anything to say for yourself, young man?
No, I don't. Not right now.
This is akin to Alex is asking you if you went on vacation.
How would you know?
How would you know you were on vacation? Have you ever known? And I realize that's why you don't like vacation.
Ah.
You don't like the idea of someone telling you were on vacation.
I like to just
do it. Be it. Well, good work. Well, look, speaking of conundrum, if you're wondering where the puzzler answer is, it's still on summer vacation. And while it's gone, my brother is dutifully working his way through his large pile of listener mail. And frankly, we're getting a little nervous that he might actually catch up with his mail, which means he'll have nothing to do. And he'll start bothering us again. Of course, if he has nothing to do, he might not know he's done.
How would I know if I were finished?
So if you have something that will help him fall further behind in his reading, by all means, send it to him right away at Mail for Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt02238.
Or you can email stuff to me from our website, cartalk.com. That's easy.
Sure enough. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
What was this?
At 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska.
What's up?
I am trying to figure out a eco-friendly washer fluid for my windshield.
Oh, we were just advertising our gluten-free, soy-based windshield washer fluid moments ago.
What do you think? I mean, how would that work?
Well, it works great. It is toxic-free. It's a little tough seeing through the soy sauce. No, what's wrong with soap? Soap is bad?
Well, you need alcohol, too. Because yeah. Otherwise the stuff freezes. Well, this time of year, it's not going to freeze.
Yeah, but you got to have some alcohol for most of the time. He's in Alaska.
And what's wrong with alcohol?
Well, which alcohol?
We don't know.
Well, I don't
know. How do we know? What do we have, degrees in chemical engineering from MIT?
I don't know.
I do.
Yeah.
It's completely useless to me.
Isopropyl alcohol?
Well, isopropyl certainly works.
Yeah.
And it's good in the event that you develop a zit or something, you know.
Yeah, you can always rub it on those nasty insect bites.
Yeah.
But that's probably what's in windshield washer fluid.
I don't think so. I think it's methanol.
Yes. That's what it says on the bottle, and it has a big skull and crossbones.
Oh, so does the isopropyl bottle. Yeah, not to be consumed and not to be taken internally.
Yeah. I'm just worried because there's so many waterways around here and all these great salmon. If everyone's pumping methanol onto their windshields, then it's getting on the streets and going out through the drains into the waterways. So.
Yeah, boy. I mean, don't forget, the only reason the alcohol is in there is to keep the water from freezing.
Right.
So we need a fluid which doesn't freeze when it gets to 20 below zero, something below zero. We don't have many of those fluids that I know of.
Well, here's what I'd like to see you do.
Yeah.
If you wanted to use just soap and water, what if you had a washer bottle that you could remove every night and bring in the house?
Ooh.
And then during the day when you were driving it, you would have to have... This device would have to somehow be fitted to your heating system with quick disconnect couplings so that the water that ran from the engine to the heater core in the car would have to go through this thing and would keep the water from freezing.
Wow.
Right? While you were driving the car, because it gets pretty cold in Alaska, even though the underhood temperature may be pretty high. And then whenever you went indoors, you'd have to take the thing. It would be like carrying
a
lunchbox.
Well, here's what my thought was.
I like it.
Similar thought. But how about if you mounted that bottle in the passenger compartment?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, if we could arrange to mount the bottle under the dashboard somewhere, we would reshape it so it would be long and thin instead of being squat. And... Huh. And then
that's what my wife's trying to do to me.
and then when you turned on the heater, it would not only heat up your Tootsies, it would heat up this fluid.
All right.
But if it got frozen overnight.
It would take a while.
You'd have to drive to like Seattle to thaw it out. It gets so cold at night that it would freeze up so fast you'd never thaw it out.
Right.
You need it so you can quickly disconnect it and bring it indoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you might want to wrap it with one of those insulating blankets like they have on water heaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you could build a bocce underneath this thing with some coals.
With some coals. And you could put briquettes right there in the passenger compartment.
Yeah. I could see it now.
Well, but I do like the approach of, I don't think we're ever going to find a fluid.
Right.
Which is going to work. Like alcohol works.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to do that.
Well, you may. There may be one that's more eco-friendly. Don't forget, the people who make this stuff are using alcohol because it's cheap.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we don't necessarily have the answer here.
However.
But we will help you.
All right.
Because on our website, we have a bulletin board.
Okay.
And
which usually refutes everything that we say.
And we will put this question up on that bulletin board.
Great.
And then we will get then the great minds of the world, because everyone goes to that website. President Carter goes to that website.
All right.
And he's a chemical engineer, you know.
Excellent.
Nuclear engineer.
He might have some nuclear response to this.
Oh, wow.
All it would take is one little nugget of fissionable material.
Yeah.
You'd never have to worry about that.
You didn't want to have kids, did you?
All right.
Yeah, but see, we got all that heat. We got all that heat in the engine. There's got to be a way to use the heat instead of using
the
alcohol.
Well, that's why I recommend having a quick coupling so you can put the bottle back in there.
Yeah, but that's a royal pain.
He's in Alaska. You don't think that's a royal pain? I mean, this is just one more pain. Royal pain. Well, good luck. And I hope you succeed with this before they put you away.
Wait a minute. I got another solution. I know another fluid that doesn't freeze.
Motor oil.
At minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit.
Uh-oh.
Gasoline.
Yeah.
We spray that all over the windshield and set fire to it.
What was I thinking?
Brilliant. Brilliant, man.
Hey, thanks for your call, Scott. A very interesting question.
Keep up the good work.
We'll try.
Right.
See ya.
Bye.
He called mostly to get us into trouble.
He did, and you know what? He succeeded.
Well, speaking of getting into trouble, do you know what time it is now?
Time to retread the tree swing?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. This is the part of the show where we unearth a caller from a previous show and see how things are going in the afterlife, so to speak.
What an unfortunate choice of words. Who's our lucky player this week?
It's Laurie from Hawaii. Remember Laurie?
No. Help me out here.
Well, Laurie called us a while back about her Nissan Pathfinder, which, and this is a clue, she nicknamed it Wobble Butt.
Mm. It's a four-wheel drive car, and it's off-road maybe 8 hours a week. And driving along the road, it feels like the back wheels of the car drive over the wake of a boat. And it sets up this rock in the rear end. And the roll in the rear end kind of causes a complimentary yaw in the front end.
So the back end is like moving from side to side?
Right. Like a giant finger has come out of the sky and just pushed on the side of the car. And then that kind of makes it feel like it's fishtailing as well.
Got it.
Okay, excellent.
When was the accident?
There was no accident.
Oh, yes, there was.
No, I swear.
You need a good accident.
Boy, that was some pretty helpful advice we gave her.
Well, did she stick to her story?
She did. No accident. And we told her that it was probably a bent axle or a seized universal joint.
We didn't mention a bad tire or anything like that?
We didn't. How could we not?
Well, let's see how we did. Laurie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Look, before we find out what happened, and I got a feeling we ain't going to like it, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Yeah, and also that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the giant aluminum butt stabilization device that we sent you?
Well, maybe by the giant aluminum butt stabilization device.
Can you say yes to both of those questions?
but not by anything else, no.
No. Okay, so was it a bent axle or a seized U-joint?
Well, the good news is Wobble Butt has been transformed from a Polynesian vibrator into a prim English maid. But the bad news is you were wrong. It was the forward suspension arms.
Really?
The rear wheel had worn out bushings.
Really? The trailing arms had worn out bushings. So,
yep.
Uh-huh.
And it was causing the thing to go thump, thump, thump. And it didn't make any noise, eh?
No, it didn't make any noise at all. It just rocked.
Boy, that's a tough one to figure out. And obviously, we didn't.
We didn't.
But you tried really hard.
We did try.
Yeah. What do we get? Do we get a $26 gift certificate?
We don't get anything.
Wait, I got the $26 gift certificate.
She gets the $26.
Oh, you do? All right.
Oh, okay.
Gee whiz.
Well, we did our level best.
do I know.
And I'm sure the entire staff was full of glee when they found out that we had given you a wrong answer. I can see them all grinning now. Well, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Laurie.
Yeah, and if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Hey, Laurie, thanks.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, you can call and stump us right now because we've proven that we're stumpable.
We're stumpable, yeah.
That's 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andy from San Francisco.
Hi, Andy.
Andy.
What's going on,
What's up, man?
Well, I've got this 95 Corolla with about 105,000 miles on it, and the check engine light started coming on once in a while.
Yeah.
I can get it to go off if I disconnect the battery, and then
sure.
I reconnect the battery, and it stays off for a while.
But then it comes back on.
It usually comes back on when I put gas in it, or then if I drive for a couple hours.
Yeah, because it takes a while for it to, it has to see the fault over and over and over again before it turns the light on.
So why do you have such an aversion to the check engine light?
I'm worried that the check engine light is some kind of scam. I guess I would have taken it in.
Uh-huh. So it never occurred to you that the check engine light may have come on so that you would, like, check the engine? I mean, why are you so afraid of that?
I know why.
Because it's
a 95 and you're afraid it's going to cost you money.
I thought you could check it for me, you know.
Oh. Well, we could. Okay, plug your phone into your car. No, you need to have someone attach a scanner to the car to read the code.
And you can buy a scanner if you really want to.
No, I don't want to.
Nah, I didn't think so.
but there's no easy way to do this without some kind of a tool.
See, this is why I'm starting to think it's a scam.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice
if they could just tell you what the thing is.
But what if it said that your oxygen sensor were bad, which is very likely in this car because it's 1,000 years old and it's got 105,000 miles on it, and it's probably been overworked and it doesn't do its job anymore. Okay, now what if it said oxygen sensor and you said, oh, I must need a new one, and you went ahead and replaced it, but you found out, in fact, that there was nothing wrong with the oxygen sensor, that upstream there was a broken wire. So you'd feel that that was a scam or you'd gotten ripped off because you didn't know how to perform the tests. And they can't give you all that information on any kind of a display. Yeah. That's called the repair manual. You know, so
yeah, and you're trying to avoid this at all costs, well, and it's going to cost you.
And it doesn't seem that pressing because the fact that it doesn't come on after I disconnect the battery
seems
like for a while it's fine.
No, and the reason it doesn't come on, if in fact the sensor is bad, then it's going to the computer has to detect it for many, many starts of the engine before it will turn the light on.
Yeah, so the fact that it stays off for a while doesn't mean anything. If it comes back on, it means it's check the engine.
I can open the hood and look at it, but check the
engine. Here's the point, and we're all kind of sensitive to this stuff now. What if your oxygen sensor, in fact, isn't working? So in the absence of a properly functioning oxygen sensor, your computer is not adjusting the mixture correctly, so what's coming out of your tailpipe is dirty. It's not getting cleaned up correctly. Okay?
All right, well, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
Exactly. So you need to know that. You know, and usually when the check engine light comes on, it's telling you that something is wrong with one of the things that controls what's ultimately coming out the tailpipe.
Okay.
And in almost every case, if the check engine light is on, it means your engine has the potential to be putting out a lot more pollution than it was meant to put out.
Andy, just tell me this. How long has this been going on?
About a month.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Oh, you got months before you have to do anything.
Well, that's what I figured. I can just use this battery trick for a while.
Well, no. You got to do it because you're polluting.
Okay.
By the way, I mean, we never were advocates of disconnecting the battery. We always suggested to people that they use the black electrical tape.
Yeah, you just know. Put it right
well,
over
the
check
nice thing about
light.
The electrical tape is during the daytime, you're not aware at all that the light is on. And at night, you see a little, you know, you see a little glow coming from behind the tape and it gives you a reminder that the light is, in fact, on.
But well, that was going to be my next question. How to keep the light
on. Use the black tape. Well, you can, but in this instance, we're going to recommend that you go ahead and fix it.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, see you, Andy.
Thank you.
Okay, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a little break and give our listeners a chance to stretch their legs.
And readjust their earplugs.
We'll be back in a minute. Stole a car just the other day. 65 Grover, 10 shades of gray. Deluxe mode.
And even though assistant producers in the news division get the smelling salts ready whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the, not the new Puzzler. Now, the Puzzler is now officially on summer hiatus, but since we know that nobody can stand to listen to us more than once every lunar cycle, we're posting some puzzlers online that you may have missed. So if you want a puzzle to work on, head on over to cartalk.com, and we'll have a different one there every week over the whole summer, you know, so you can torture yourself.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I've been catching up on the old mailbag. Today's dispatch comes from the Sun newspaper in London, and you'll see why I sympathize with this guy. Dateline London. A driver was banned from the roads yesterday. Tight-fisted David Williams had his license taken away and his car impounded after horrified cops who stopped him for a broken taillight also found he had a ball tire, no rearview mirror, two broken door handles, and a rolled-up carpet as a bumper. But what really ticked him off was that he had no brakes.
What do they expect?
The cops found the brake fluid reservoir was full of, quote, goopy cooking oil. Now, I can understand a ball tire, rearview mirrors do fall off sometimes, sure. Door handles break, big deal, right?
These are all problems that your current cars have.
Of course. I even understand the rolled-up carpet for a bumper. I mean, if it's a nice, thick Berber, it'd probably work pretty well, you know? But what kind of a moron would put goopy cooking oil in his brake lines? I mean, I would never do that. Nothing but extra virgin olive oil goes in my brake lines. Come on, David. Get with the program.
That's right, man. No trans fat in your brake lines, huh, Tommy?
Absolutely not. Here's one more note. When this guy's lawyer was asked what kind of vehicle his client will replace this car with, he said, the bus.
Well, that's pretty good. Look, if you have interesting news or notes for my brother, you can email them to him from cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now, we're here, baby. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cami calling from Georgetown, Texas.
Georgetown, Texas? Where's Georgetown?
Just north of Austin.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's become a suburb of Austin. It used to be a small town north of Austin.
That no one ever heard of before, because I've been there, and I've never heard of Georgetown. I think you're making it up.
I thought Georgetown was in Washington, D.C.
I thought so, too. Anyway, Cami, what's cooking?
What kind of SUV do you have?
My husband drives the SUV. I have an 88 Subaru wagon and a six-year-old son, and I'm wondering if I'm endangering him by only having lap belts in the back seat. Do I need to get my car retrofitted with shoulder belts and get him in a booster seat?
Yeah, the lap belt stinks.
Or should I buy a new car?
Yeah, buy a new car.
Yeah.
Buy a new car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's got to have a shoulder belt.
Okay. And is retrofitting it not worth it?
Oh, if you can get someone to do it.
But that's hard.
Good luck.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible that Subaru might do it.
They wouldn't touch this.
No, it's too hard. First of all, it's just too hard to do.
They'd pull your car into the service bay, and they'd escort you right into the showroom.
And they'll say, here it is, all done.
Pick one you like. Yeah, no, I think that you'd have a hard time finding someone to do it because no one wants the liability of doing it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because the car was not engineered to have a shoulder belt
right.
in the back.
See, if our mother had this option, she would have stayed with the lap belts in retrospect.
Right. Hey, things happen, you know.
So I should say, should I buy a newer car? I have a husband who is a shade tree mechanic. I mean, we love listening to you guys, and we try to guess how to solve the problem before you do it. I mean, he wants to work on the cars.
What's your other car?
He drives a Suburban.
Of course.
We live in Texas.
Right, you have to. What's the state law, isn't it?
It's the state law.
At least one car has to be
for
a Suburban.
Family. Right.
And you love this Subaru wagon, don't you?
I love the
buy
Subaru
another
wagon.
Yeah, buy another one.
Buy another used one.
Okay.
Because the later ones have the right seat belts.
Right.
Yeah, do it. The safety of your kids is more important than a few bucks.
Okay.
See you, Cammy.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, bye-bye. Best of luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
That's great. So,
Who are you?
Oh, my name's Peter. Sorry.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Where are you from?
I'm from Gloucester this week, but Massachusetts. I'm calling from Brookline right now. Yeah, Massachusetts.
I guess there's only one Gloucester. There's one in England, and there's one here.
One here, yeah. Might be others, but not as famous.
No.
So what's up?
All right, I've got a 97 Saab 900, and it doesn't take bumps real well. And every time I hit a pothole, the car really jostles, especially in the back. And now also when I dive into a curve, the car doesn't respond as well. I can feel the tires staying on the road, but the car seems to lurch to the left, and then it kind of catches up to the tires.
When you say lurch, do you mean lean?
Yeah, it leans more than it used to. You know, the car is a semi-performance kind of car.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is it the shocks? Is it the struts? Is it the springs?
Do you carry a lot of weight in this car? You have a mother-in-law that...
No. No, I gained a few pounds this winter. But,
My brother's not going to have a mother-in-law very soon.
I mean, do you frequently have four people in the car?
No. Maybe,
it's just mostly you.
One. Yeah, it's mostly me or me and my girlfriend.
Mm. How big is the girlfriend?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Loaded, huh?
You're supposed to say immediately, without any hesitation, she's just right.
She's just right. Yeah. Right. Belt and beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it could easily be the struts. And you know, if you've got upwards of 60,000 miles on this thing.
Yeah. I got 110 now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if four new struts didn't make the thing handle like new.
Okay.
Well, not like new, but certainly a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But usually leaning too much into curves is not struts, but springs.
Springs.
And that's why I asked you about the heavy weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be springs. It could be stabilizers. I mean, you know, if your stabilizers were broken, you'd hear that. And that can certainly, a broken stabilizer link can make the thing really lean into turns. But
don't forget, we got into trouble similar to a stabilizer is a trailing link. And we didn't hear noise, and that's what it was in the Stump to Chumps episode of this very week.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Huh? But I never met a stabilizer link I didn't like. Nor have I ever met one that was broken that didn't make some kind of noise.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, there's no noise. I had a motor mount broken once.
That makes noise.
Away.
That's
yeah.
noisy.
But it's a simple matter. Whoever checks out the thing is going to put it up in the air and check the ball joints, tie rod ends, and the stab links.
Okay.
And if any of that stuff is worn out, obviously you want to change it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess they're going to discover, first and foremost, that you need struts.
Okay. What are struts?
Struts are shock absorbers.
They're shock absorbers?
Right.
Oh, the same thing.
The same thing, yes. Except they cost four times as much.
Yeah.
You know, back in the old days, you could go to Sears.
And the labor is four times as much.
Yeah, you could go to Sears and you could buy shocks for $19.95.
$19.95? Mm-hmm. $5.95. They used to sell them for $5.
Well, $19.95 was the whole set. Four for $19.95. And if you came in now, the fifth one, even though you didn't need it, was free.
They were going to give you a free one. You could leave it in the trunk for whatever.
You know, but those were the old days.
Yeah, but now they're $100 a piece.
And cars have improved, the handling of cars has improved dramatically. But take it to the dealer and have them throw it up on the lift and check to make sure that the thing is safe, because at 120K, any number of things could be worn out.
Okay.
And don't forget, it's boating season, and they have, you know, mechanics are people, too. They're going to have boat payments to make, so.
Exactly.
See you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Kensington, California.
With a Y?
No, with an I.
Oh, you're not originally from California, then.
Well, how did you know that?
Because you would have spelled it with a Y if you were born there.
Right. Now I'm originally from New Jersey.
And maybe two L's.
I was going to say, you had to be from New York.
New York and New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So how long have you been in California?
Seems like forever. I maybe 27 years, I think.
No kidding.
Yep.
And what lured you out there?
My husband changed jobs.
Yeah.
And went out here, and he dragged me kicking and screaming.
But now, how do you feel about Kensington, California?
Oh, it's great. It's a really pretty town. And in fact, it's kind of New England-y, so I'm more or less assimilated.
And the
it's
husband,
right next to Berkeley.
You dumped him, right?
No, No, he's the source of the problem today.
Oh, okay. Oh,
but you, I would suggest you change the spelling of your name because everyone's going to know you're an alien.
Right. Sometimes feel like an alien.
So what's the problem with your husband?
Okay, he has agreed to abide by the decision that whatever your conclusion is today about our problem with the way that he drives.
And have you agreed to?
I will accept it, whatever it is, but I sure hope that it goes my way.
What's it worth to you?
Does he know you're calling?
He knows I'm calling. In fact, he even tried to alter his theory last night.
Oh.
So
and you said,
said, nope, we're going on the theories you've posited so far.
Go for it. What is it?
Okay, he drives like his foot is on a wah-wah pedal on the gas. It leaves you in the car, like he'll press down and get up to like 60 miles an hour, lift up his foot off the gas pedal so the car kind of drops back a little and coasts, and then he gasses it again with hitting the pedals. In other words, it's wah, wah, wah. So you're driving, and you always feel, no matter how sophisticated he gets with this technique, you always feel like a slight lurching forward all the time. You can never relax. And he says that for 10 years he denied he was doing it. Then after that, he said it was to save gas mileage. I said, we're calling Click and Clack.
What does your husband do for a living? Is he a nuclear physicist?
It's sort of, we're retired.
Ah, what did he do for a living before he retired?
He was a currency trader.
Oh.
So is he right?
No.
But we're going to try to bring him down gently.
good, I love it.
Do you have a mean streak, Linda?
It's the New Jersey.
Well, what was the bet?
I was just going to lord it over him in our house.
Oh,
that's good.
That's enough, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not right.
Is he a cheapskate?
He kind of is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when you accelerate, you use far more gas than you would use if you were simply going at a constant speed.
Exactly.
But when you coast, you're using far less than you would use.
Right.
So the question is, do you
compensate by accelerating?
Aren't you actually burning more? Because this is what, I know I've heard you guys talk about exothermic reactions before. And so,
not us.
You know, the MIT part of you.
The MIT part of us. That was another person, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So wouldn't you actually be juicing it up more than you're getting out of the residual coast?
Well, that's the... Yes. I say, yes, you are.
Oh, I win. This means I win, right?
Oh, this means you win.
Oh, this is too delicious.
Now, do I have...
Do I have irrefutable... numbers to
can
back
I,
this up.
Can I write out the equations which would prove this? No, I can't. But I do know that somebody out there will do it for me.
Oh, boy.
But I do remember reading, you know, every once in a while, I don't know if they do it anymore, but I remember reading about these mileage contests.
Yeah.
Where people who are so disposed would take cars and inflate the tires to 150 PSI.
And strip the car so it weighs as little as possible.
And then they would try to drive the car so as to maximize the mileage.
Yeah.
And some of these people with ordinary cars, you know, like Chevy Impalas, were getting like 200 miles or something
right.
to the gallon.
How do they do that?
And one of the things I believe they did...
Floor it.
...was they floored it and then they coasted.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Well,
were those... contest like on a short distance or
and they didn't take into effect that all of the participants puked on themselves.
Well, plus he has to, you know, he can only do this within a certain range. Like, you have to do it within, say you're on the highway, you got to do it within like 55 to 65 miles an hour. So you're constantly up and down and up and down. When I said wah-wah pedal, I mean it.
Yeah.
It is very disturbing.
Well, it's annoying, and it's also, it's actually damaging to the car.
Oh, man. This is getting better and better.
Yeah, no, it's tough on the entire drivetrain. And what few pennies he's saving a week.
If he is
being completely overshadowed.
Yeah.
By the havoc he's wreaking on the engine and the transmission and the axles, the CV joints and all that.
Boy.
He's wrecking the car.
Oh.
And he did he start doing this after he retired?
No, he has always driven this way since 1960.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think he's crazy, but I know that we will get lots of mail because this is the kind of question that teases all of the physicists out of their hiding.
Right, and on a perfectly flat, frictionless surface, there may be some, you know, some right. rationale.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I know that all of these, especially retired physicists, are right now on the back of an envelope writing equations to prove us and you wrong.
No.
But hang tough, Linda. We're in your camp.
Okay, we love you guys.
We'll all go down together.
If we get any good mail, we'll post it on the website.
Okay, thanks again.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Valley Stream, Heavy Cream, Battered Bream, Pork Supreme, Light Soy Dream, and Latte Steamed Diet Scheme is John Bugsy Lawler. A busy guy. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our staff ornithologist from the McMurdo office is Marsha De Penguins. Our scout leader is Lawson DeWoods. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. The chairman of our Southern Literature Department is Amos Reed. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horse You Rode In. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the scholars in black socks and flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1129, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the 10 worst things your mechanic can tell you.
Yeah, number one is, hey, did you hear that giant crash in there?
Yeah, that was your car.
The emphasis on was. But we came up with a list of the 10 worst things your mechanic can tell you when your car's in the shop. See how many of them you've heard this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though prospective car buyers refuse the optional sound system whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.